Hi everyone, and thanks for listening to Visibility, the monthly podcast produced by CID, the Council for Intellectual Disability. Here, we'll be telling our stories and exploring some of the issues that impact people with intellectual disability. To find out more about our work, visit www.cid.org.au. Now, settle in and enjoy.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Council for Intellectual Disability acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Hi, and welcome to the Council for Intellectual Disability's Visibility Podcast. My name's Adele. And I'll be chatting today to someone who's both a person who identifies with an intellectual disability as well as being part of the LGBTQIA plus community. I'd like to welcome Cameron. Hi, Cameron. Thanks for chatting with us today.
Hi, how are you? That's all right.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. I'm really excited to have you on the Visibility Podcast today. Cameron, can we start by, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in the space with regards to disability rights and queer rights?
Yeah, not a problem. My name's Cameron. I'm a self-advocate with a group called Rainbow Rights, which is a group in the LGBTIQ community, and we meet like fortnightly to discuss of issues and bring them into the community. And I'm also Voice at the Table, which is an organisation that goes around training organisations how to include people with cognitive disabilities in meetings.
Oh, that's so good, isn't it? Because inclusion for everybody is really important.
It is.
And so I guess, you know, for you being someone who I guess is part of two groups that, you know, sometimes the community can struggle with. Sometimes people don't understand people with intellectual disability or maybe can't relate to somebody in the queer community. Was it more difficult to you for you, do you think, being seen as a sexual being?
In a way, yeah. Yes, it is because some people don't understand that if you have a disability, you also have a sexual choice preference as well. You can either, you know, you can either be a straight male with a disability or female, or you can be in the LGBTIQ community. You do have options to choose out of if you identify as LGBTIQ.
Yeah. And so did you find that it was it harder for you to come out because of that? Do people take you seriously? Because you take you seriously, but was that difficult? Maybe you could tell us how you sort of came out.
Yeah, well, when I come out, I was in the custody centre in Melbourne. My mum come and visit me, and at the custody centre, you don't have contact visits, so it's all behind a box. You're in a box with a screen protecting you in front of you. And my mum asked me if I was gay, and I turned around and said, yeah, I am gay. And she said, why are you telling me now? I said, you see this window? You can't get to me.
It was safety for you, was it?
Yes.
And I guess that, you know, as much as that's a funny story, and thank you so much for sharing that, Cam, I guess, you know, you have to go on a journey sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes you do, and like when I came out, I wasn't sure how my parents would react, if they would be happy, if they, because they're sort of, you know, in the old school sort of, you know how when I say old school, as in back when they were younger, it wouldn't have been as open as it is today.
Yeah, that is the case for people regardless of ability, isn't it? That there's, you know, where equality is important and uniqueness is important, and we're all just as important as each other, aren't we?
Exactly.
And so what sort of pushed you into perhaps becoming more of an advocate? I mean, you could be someone who, you know, lives with a disability and is queer but doesn't really talk about it or isn't part of any sort of group. So what made you feel like you needed to speak out and be a self-advocate?
Well, I just thought it's about time that I stood up for myself and mentioned, just stood up for myself and brought it out there to the community saying, hey, look, yes, there are people with disabilities in the community. And yes, we do have a sexual choice and a preference. You know, so don't judge us for who, just don't put a label on who we are.
Yeah. And so is this also about like representing? So you're sort of saying, look, not everyone's necessarily going to speak up about this, but you feel compelled to do so. What do you hope the outcomes of that are? What do you hope to do when you speak up?
It's more of the acknowledgement of, you know, the recognition that we should get instead of being treated like second-class citizens. Yes, we already have a disability, but we also want to be recognised to fit it in part of the community. So, yeah, we've got an intellectual disability. We also want to say, look, I have an intellectual disability and I'm gay. I want people to accept me for who I am in the community, not saying, no, look, you've got an intellectual disability, you don't know what you're talking about.
So Cameron, do you now find that you surround yourself with people who understand you more and can give you that support?
Yeah, I do find myself surrounded by people who give me the support and the respect that we need and deserve.
So Cameron, because you're part of different groups that help you to push your message forth about being a person with intellectual disability who also identifies in the queer community, and you understand the barriers that people face, what are some of the things that, you know, some of your peers share with you or some barriers that you've faced?
Well, some of the, like, peers, like, people have gatekeepers in their life. So gatekeeper, which pretty much means that someone controlling their life for them, not letting them do anything, you know, not letting them have a partner or step it in, you know, not letting them be, you know, active in the community or have choices or have anything to say or even, you know, sometimes people got to ask permission for what to do and where to go and what to eat and how to spend their money.
Nobody wants that over the age of 18, do we?
No, we don't.
I mean, it must be interesting because, you know, all of us have our stories, and being able to share our stories with one another often gives you hints and tips about what you might do yourself. So do you find that having that sort of peer support helps you in that way? It's informal, but it's, you know, sharing advice and maybe helping other people to navigate their way a little bit?
Yeah, I do sometimes like to give my advice out to people and that, and if they choose to take it, it's up to them. I also try and stick up for my fellow members and all that and, you know, to help them out if they need help.
Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? I think, you know, for all of us, we all need varying types of support in our lives, whether it be, you know, someone to help you be more organized, someone to just, you know, come and do some gardening around your house, or whether it be around, yeah, navigating something that you've kind of been through yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cameron. It's really great chatting with you. We're just going to take a short break and then we'll be back to continue our conversation with Cameron on the CID Visibility podcast.
You're listening to Visibility, the podcast produced by the Council for Intellectual Disability. If you enjoy this episode, you can support us by reviewing us through Apple, Podchaser, or your favourite listening app.
Welcome back. You're listening to CID's Visibility podcast, and we're here today with Cameron, who's chatting about being a person with intellectual disability and identifying in the LGBTQIA community. Welcome back, Cameron.
Thank you.
It's really great chatting with you about your experience and the way that you're able to share a lot of your wisdom through some of your work with Rainbow Rights. And I want to chat to you a little bit more about socializing and maybe talking about, you know, how you, if you're in a partnership or if, you know, how you've sort of gone navigating dating in this space.
Yeah, not a problem.
So, yeah, do you have a partner at the moment, Cameron?
I do have a partner at the moment. Yes, he's a lovely guy as well.
I'm so pleased to hear that. So how did you guys meet?
We met through Facebook.
That's great. And so did you both feel comfortable introducing yourselves to each other's families and things like that when you got serious, I guess?
Yeah, we did. We did. You know, it was easy. You know, sometimes nervous because both of us have disabilities, and it was just nervous. You know, because you know, with more his family, they're more protective. You know, make sure you know that their child doesn't get used or abused, or you know.
Yeah, that's a big deal, isn't it? Because you mentioned before the gatekeeper, where some people really have, you know, very well-meaning family members, perhaps friends, etc., who are really trying to protect, you know, their loved one who has a disability. But yeah, there's a fine line between being worried about someone and overprotecting. So I hope that you won them over with your charm, Cam.
Well, I did, and they weren't. I would say they weren't gatekeepers. They were just being over cautious because we met on Facebook and Joe. And the last time he organised to meet up with someone for the movies, they never showed up. So they'll just rode and if I would show up for the first time.
Yeah. And that's it. It's more about that they wanted to make sure. And I think that's like what friends would do too. I'm trying to think if I've ever been on a date through an app, and I'm pretty sure that I let a friend know exactly where I was and what I was doing. And I think that that's important, isn't it? To really just for anyone to be protected is for you to kind of know who you're meeting, where you're meeting them, that it's in a public place.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that you feel safe, that you feel really safe.
Yeah.
All right. So, so how long have you guys been together for?
Nearly 3 years. We live separately. So he lives with his parents and I live, in a place of my own, but yeah, we've been nearly together for about 3 years now.
That's great. And do you ever find that you get any kind of community sort of negativity or barriers when you spend time together in public or when you're out in the community?
No, we don't. We don't actually. Everyone, you know, it's if we did, we'll just tell them to mind their own business. It's none of their business. What, you know?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And I think anyone can get that. Humans are naturally inquisitive creatures, aren't we?
Yeah.
And so I wonder, Cam, like, have you had much experience in sort of LGBTQI social spaces? Do you otherwise sort of, you know, go out socializing, clubbing, go to specific places where you particularly feel comfortable and welcomed?
To be honest, I don't go social clubbing because I reckon it's a waste of money. It's easier to drink at home. that's just my thing because I, you know, pay like $8-$10 for a bourbon when you can buy you know, a big bottle of bourbon at home and it'll be a lot cheaper than, and you can use a bigger glass.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You can choose your own music. You can choose your company. It's a beautiful thing being able to socialize at home.
Exactly.
So it's not really, it's not, Cameron, about you not feeling included. Is it just more just not your vibe?
Yeah, it's just not my vibe. I'm not a part. I've always been like that. I'm not a party go person who likes to go out nightclubbing with the loud music and the whole bunch of strangers.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's important to, I guess, get out and about in the world, though, otherwise. And so I just wonder, within your peer groups, because, I mean, you're representing as a gay man, but within the LGBTQIA community, you know, we're covering and talking about lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender and queer relationships. So I wonder how does that you know, do you find that you now have a mixed, a bigger variety of friends being part of different advocacy groups as well?
I do have more of a variety of colleagues, I would say. Not necessarily, I wouldn't say everyone that I work with or know is work friends. They're more acquaintances. So I've got a variety of acquaintances that are out there that know who I am and I know who they are. Yeah, so it's just, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that just knowing it and having people that you identify with in the community, do you think it would have helped you growing up, like when you were a kid, to have seen people who seemed like you in the community or known anyone who perhaps also had a disability but identified in the queer community?
Well, when I was a kid, I didn't really come out as a kid. I just sort of hung around with people. I went to mainstream school for a bit, and it was just people. I was just friends I was hanging out with. So, you know, they didn't care if I had a disability or not. You know, and that's the best thing about being a kid. They don't care. They don't judge.
That's so great to hear. It's really important, isn't it?
Until you get older, and then everyone judges you.
It sounds to me like you didn't have too much of a rough time with sort of like getting to grips with your identity yourself.
No, I didn't have a hard time. You know, other people may have had a harder time than I did. You know, so it's more of the gatekeeping around people. You know, and unfortunately with our group, it's with the Rainbow Rights, it's mainly it just worked out to be apparently all males. We have one female member now, but most of it's males. It's sort of, we want more female members, but it's harder for females to either come out or, you know, yeah, I'm not sure.
So in your experience, Cameron, you're saying that sometimes it's a little bit easier for men to come out in your experience in the LGBTQI community with people with intellectual disability, it's a bit easier for men than it is for women. And so that's maybe a bit of a gap in people's sort of understanding or women's confidence.
Yeah, that is a bit of a gap. It just makes it harder. Yeah, because I don't know many women that with an intellectual disability that are actually come out.
That's really interesting. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you about sexual relationships and sexual health. You don't have to reveal anything that you don't want to, but I just wonder about, you know, because it's about information and access. So understanding your body, understanding, you know, the impact of different sexual contact to your body. Do you feel like you had access to that information as much as everybody else?
Yeah, I reckon I did. You know, they briefly talked about, like, say, for example, when I was younger, sex ed in school. It wasn't really, it was just normal straight sex ed, you know. I've got more information now, like through Thorn Harbour Health in Victoria. You know, so I can access more information now as an adult than I did when I would have been younger.
Yeah. And do you think that's because things are more readily available in, say, like pamphlets, in easy read, in accessible language for you?
Yes. It's more available now because back when I would have been younger, it wouldn't have been highly highlighted to do things in easy English.
Yeah, that's quite a new thing, and that's really about having a picture and then a simple statement to describe what's happening, isn't it?
Exactly.
And so do you think that that's something that's important to have that information for kids and for everybody, no matter how they identify?
That is important. It makes it go... Everything got a lot easier and smoother.
Yeah. And so what would you say to, you know, anyone out there who's listening who maybe is someone with an intellectual disability and thinks that they might be identifying in the queer community, what would you say to them, Cameron?
Well, what I would say to them is just, you know, be honest and, you know, hopefully the support you've got around you at the time will be respectful of your decision. And if, especially you can also reach out to Rainbow Rights if you've got intellectual disability. And it just mainly hopefully that people can, you know, respect your decision that you make.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Cameron. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting You're with you welcome. Today and I really appreciate you. Yeah, thank you. And it's just been so good hearing interesting sort of and insightful information. And, you know, I think it's a good takeaway for people to really just, in general, for a more equal society, be respectful of individuals and all of our wonderful quirks, decisions, choices, and to respect one another, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And to those of you listening, thank you as well. Please join us next month for our episode on friendships from the perspective of a person with intellectual disability. Until then, take care.
You can support our podcast by leaving a review to Apple or your listening app of choice. Until next month.